Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace is sufficient. Thank you, Father, for out of this vessel you shall pour forth your wisdom, revelation, and understanding, permeating the souls of men, transforming them to become what they need to become in the name of Jesus Christ. May we live to this light, even as the listeners listening, God, let the light of God permeating their soul be their reality in day-to-day engagement. I bless you, Father, and I glorify you, Lord, that whatever is of your purpose shall be accomplished in this conversation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Wow, welcome so much. Karibuni sana. It's been quite a journey. We've been doing the Church of Corinth, not the Book of Corinth. And today I just want to pick it up on the mind of Christ. And we are studying the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2 says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that are in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." So Paul is saying the church of God, this church of God is those that have called upon the name of Jesus. And this name of Jesus is not J-E-S-U-S. The name of Jesus refers to his accomplishment, reputation, or his achievement. In John chapter 5, verse 36, if we can just dash there, John chapter 5, verse 36, we find the writer, John says, this is Jesus, and John is echoing what Jesus said through his writing, says, "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." So the works that Jesus did bear witness is the testimony. So the name of Jesus carries the testimony, which is the works of what the Father had sent Jesus to do. And John 5:37, "And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard this voice at any time, nor seen his shape." And to go to the book of John chapter 14, and I want us to read verse 13. Scripture says, I'll start from verse 12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do," so there are the works that Jesus did was dying on the cross, fulfilling the promise, what the Father had sent him. He said, "The work that I do, he do also. He that believeth on me, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father." So the greater works, so Jesus is saying, these works that I'm doing, whoever believes on me shall do greater works than these. And then he says, because the works that I do, look at that, "and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." Look at verse 13, then he comes and says, "Whatsoever you ask in my name." So whatever Jesus was doing was going to be pegged in the name. So what we are supposed to be doing later on is pegged on the name of Jesus Christ. And he says, "That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So the works that Jesus was doing or was to do was to glorify the Father in the Son. Verse 14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do." So the name of Jesus refers or compiles the accomplishment, the repetition, the works that Jesus did. And those works was to glorify the Father in the Son. And if you go further to John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So he will teach you all things. And I'm just sampling scriptures. John chapter 15, verse 16, it says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit may remain, that whatsoever shall ask of the Father in my name." So he's saying the works, their bearing of fruit is based on the name. And then verse 26 of John chapter 15 says, "But the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me." And you also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Look at John chapter 16, verse 23 to 25. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing. Have ye asked nothing in my name? Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So he said, whatever you ask, that I will do, so that the Father can be glorified in my name. The Father will do in my name. So he says, when you ask, when the Father is doing, that joy may be full. And these things I have spoken unto you, verse 25, in Proverbs, but the time is coming when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. Verse 26, and at that day you shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you because he loves me and has believed that I came out and have believed that I came out from God. I come forth from the Father and I'm come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. So we find about the name. We're just walking about the name. The name of Jesus is about what he has done, the works that God had assigned him to do in John chapter 5, verse 25. The works that the Father had sent him to do. Jesus answered them and told them, You believe not the works that I do, my Father's name, they bear witness of me. John chapter 10, verse 25. So the works that I do bears my Father's name. So the name of Jesus carries the testimony of who he is or what he has done, or carries the testimony of the works of the Father. So when we talk about the name of Jesus, it's not J-E-S-U-S, it is the works that Jesus has accomplished as a mission sent by the Father. What are those works? Reuniting that God was in Christ Jesus. Let's just dash to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Sorry, I'm a bit fast. Traveling somewhere, and I hope this will be beneficial. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have come new. Verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So Jesus, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and that defines the works of the Father. So these works of the Father bear the name of Jesus as a testimony. Jesus is a testimony that the works of the Father have been accomplished. So this name of Jesus is a testimony, is a reputation, is an accomplishment of God's agenda, of God's purpose here on earth. So when Paul is saying, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So he was saying that our commonality, our common ground is the name of Jesus, where we have been birthed from. In this name of Jesus, the works of God have been accomplished. So when you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, we are actually identifying ourselves with our reputation, with our family, which is the reputation, the works that Jesus accomplished as he was sent by the Father. And is that commonality is what informs in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. If therefore the whole church come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that they are mad? So here, Paul is saying, if therefore when the church comes together in one place, so there's a coming together in one place. So the gathering of brethren, the gathering of believers, assembly of believers in one, all speak. What are they doing? All of them are speaking, and they're speaking with tongues. So it means that the speech of tongues is a language in this kingdom, and it brings uniformity. So he says, all speaks is speaking tongues. We know that tongues sound differently. Whenever I speak in tongue and my brother or sister speaks in tongues, they sound differently. But that is the language. So we are speaking the same language. We are speaking the same things. We are speaking the same language. It is our kingdom. And then he says, and unlearned. So a person who comes later, or a believer who comes late, and finds
people speaking the same language and is not able to comprehend is causing division. And this division is because he will not be able to know what, why are we speaking in tongues. And in that, we find that there will be division, a separation from what the family is doing. And the Bible calls this person unbeliever, or is behaving like unbeliever or unlearned. So, and this unlearned person will say, these people are mad. It happens most of the time when people go to meetings late and they find the meeting is ongoing and preaching is ongoing and they want to plug in. They are not able to plug in because of word. They have not been there from the word go. So the church comes together into one place and they are all speaking in tongues. The unlearned or the believer who is late acts like unbeliever because of words, because of the actions. They are not speaking the same language. Unless he comes in and finds that we are praying in tongues and continues to pray in tongues, we are speaking in the same language. So division in church is not a natural thing. It's something that is not caused by the Holy Spirit. It's a man decision. And we'll look at the part two of this where it clarifies the same. So the church are people who come to one place, they are assembly, they are Christians, they are rising. And these Christians who are rising from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2, these Christians have been born from the same womb, which is the name of Jesus, the finished works of Jesus. We've been born into the same family. So we are gathering as family, speaking the same language. So we believe we believe and behave based on the teachings we are riding on. Then these teachings are informed by the name of Jesus. Without that name of Jesus, we don't have a basis. We don't have a commonality. We don't have a doctrine. We don't have a foundation. So the name of Jesus informs our foundation. The name of Jesus informs our teaching. The name of Jesus informs our conversation. And the reason why I say we speak in tongues, let's go to Mark chapter 16. Verse 15. Hallelujah. God bless you. And he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be doomed. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. So in what I have done, that means the name of Jesus gives us power, gives us the access, gives us the ability to do the spiritual things naturally. And look at us, he in my name shall cast out demons. They shall speak in with new tongues. So this language of tongues is not something that is strange. It's an ability that has been endorsed to us by the fact that we are born again. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have this ability engraved in us, so we speak based on that. And that is why in the book of Acts, they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. So the speaking of tongues is based on what the Spirit is doing. So the Spirit gives utterances. Our response is speaking. So we speak what we receive from the Spirit. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So the ability of every Christian, or the ability that has been installed to every person who has believed, is the ability to cast out demons, the ability to speak in tongues, the ability to lay hands on the sick, and they are healed. So back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2, the church of God, which has been called out of this name, which has been born from this name of Jesus, that have called upon the name of Jesus, that is what Paul was writing to you. And he's saying, grace and peace be multiplied to you. So grace, which is peace, is multiplied to you. Grace and peace be upon you. Those are not two different things. Hallelujah. So as we continue in Matthew chapter 28, verse 29, verse 19 to 20, Matthew 28, 19 to 20, go ye therefore and preach all to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I am with you always unto the end of the earth. So the word is teaching them. So the intention that Jesus had to the disciples was to teach them constantly, remaining and focusing on teaching them to observe, to teaching them to and baptizing them, teaching them to believe. So in teaching them, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 20 says, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper.
So he's saying, Paul is trying to tell them that whatever Jesus commissioned us is not about eating. It's about teaching. So we are teaching them to observe. They are teaching us to observe. It is teaching people to observe. They are coming together is to the to the church or to the assembly. The main mandate of the church is to teach. Hence the reason why I emphasize, I still echo this, I will always say this in my teaching, that church is a school. When we rightfully divide the word of God in church, then we don't need Bible schools. Because of what? The church was a place that was supposed meant to be Bible schools. We've so eroded that doctrine by trying to give encouragement or motivational speech in church, and at the end up raising myopic or baby Christians grown up who's been in church for 30 years but still wears pampers. Why? Because the doctrine has been eroded and the motivation speaking and business speech have come to church. Look at Paul. Paul was a trade. He had a craft which is tent making. Look at Luke. Luke was a physician. Colossians chapter 4, verse 16, verse 14 and 15. Luke was a physician. And in that we find they did not measure on their trade. They did not measure on what they are doing. They measured on the gospel. They constantly measured on the gospel. He's writing to Theophilus in Luke chapter 1, in Acts chapter 1, and says, this is the order of the way things happen. And he's categorically explaining about the life, the suffering of Jesus, the fulfillment of prophecy. When you look at Paul in Acts chapter 18, though he had a thread of tents, he's being compelled in his spirit to go and teach and testify about the testimony of Jesus to the synagogue. So the intentions of the writing or the projection of the message to the house or to Paul and these ministers of the gospel who had a trade was not their trade. The intention was to teach. What were they teaching? The doctrine. Jesus said, teach them what I have shown you, what I've taught you, teach them also. Share the same. And so we dispense. So Paul is telling the church of Corinth, the reason of their coming together is not about eating. It's about something greater. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. What have you not houses to eat and to drink? So he's trying to tell them that you have houses to eat and to drink, because the church of Corinth had replaced the doctrine, the teaching that happens in church, and that is why there were contentions. Hey, be of the same mind, speak the same things, you have the same judgment or conviction, and this things that we are speaking are informed by the name of Jesus, the works that Jesus did, the accomplishment of Jesus did. So when Jesus has accomplished these things, that is what we are teaching. That is what we constantly study in church. We should be studying in church. We should be raising people to this reality that the word of God is meant and is purposed to empower a young man, empower a young lady, empower a believer to say, to a place of their dependency and on God by them acknowledging who they have become in Christ Jesus. So Paul is asking, have you not houses to eat and drink, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? You get that? He's saying the division that is being created here, people are coming to the church and lavishly eating, and those who don't have are feeling ashamed. That is division. So division is causing the haves and have-nots in the church. So Paul is saying, have you not houses? Do you know what you're eating? Do you have houses to enjoy what you're enjoying? Because when we come together, it's not about eating. This is not to eat. Look at that, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. So the intention of us gathering together is not eating. Glory to God. So the church does not exist to shame them that have not. Our behavior and actions in church ought to be different from the behaviors of us outside church. Let me correct that. So I should not be fornicating and saying that I only don't fornicate when I'm in church. No, our behaviors, our conduct as believers is informed by the works of cross. Our conduct as believers is informed by what Christ has done. But our behaviors in church should not, here he was categorically referring that the behaviors of Christians in church should not be there to cause divisions. So the behavior in a local church is taught and learned. So when we are gathering together, it's not about eating and drinking, because it is about teaching doctrine. It's about teaching doctrine. It is possible to despise the church by despising others, by getting best of the haves and not haves not. And that is division, where Paul is saying, let no division, let no contention be among you. This is still the church of Corinth. There are so many contentions. There are so many divisions. Glory to God. So that is the division that Paul was trying to address. So our gathering of saints is on our commonality, which is the name of Jesus, and not our differences. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 to 6, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body, one Spirit, and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So our commonality is God the Father, who is above us, in us all, and through us all, because we are advancing his agenda. The things we emphasize is in our spirit, the inheritance we've received in Christ Jesus in church. Glory to God. So eating and drinking at home shows that there are a variety of ways of eating and drinking, but what's commonality is our inheritance in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go to verse 5. That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterances and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. The testimony of Christ, we have said, the testimony of Christ informs the name of Jesus, which is the works that God had done through Christ Jesus. 5 John chapter 5, verse 36, what we've read earlier on. John chapter 10, verse 25. So the works of Jesus, the works of God that Jesus had accomplished, defines the testimony of Jesus. So even as the works of Christ, which was confirmed in you, the works of Christ, God was in Christ working, and his work was to reconcile man to himself. So the testimony of Jesus, the reconciliation of man to God, and this reconciliation of man to God. So Paul is saying that in everything, verse 5, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterances and all knowledge. In all speaking and in all knowledge, in all speaking and knowledge. So it means that in our speaking, we have enriched you, and in knowledge, you've been enriched. In our speaking, we've enriched you, and in knowledge, you are enriched. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Let's go there. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if you have had the dispensation of the grace of God, which given to me to you, word, have that by revelation has made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in my few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So Paul says that how I have had the dispensation of grace, and he's saying the reason why I'm writing to you, verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. So Paul is saying the mystery that was hidden, the mystery that was hidden before from the prophets, from the people who were there before Paul, he had been revealed to them by the Spirit, and he wrote them down. So the revelation of the things of the Spirit are found in the written, in the epistles, as a revelation of the mysteries, which was the scriptures. And this mystery in Luke chapter 24 to 27, it says that from Moses, Jesus opened, gave them understanding, and he started explaining to them that in Moses, what Moses writes, the Psalmist, the Proverbs, when they were writing all this, all the prophets, they spoke something concerning his death, his suffering, and concerning his entry into his glory. So Paul is saying that was the mystery, that was what was hidden, and that's why they were looking forward to that day in Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 37 into Hebrews chapter 11. You find their projection was to that day, that saving day, that they had hope against hope. They had hope against hope in Habakkuk chapter 2, that the just shall live by faith. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, and this gospel God preached to Abraham, and Abraham went out and was looking for a city whose builder and architect is God. So this is what was written. This was the mystery that was hidden. What was the mystery? That this builder, this city, this place, that this hope, this faith that you're talking about is about the suffering and entry into glory by the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were seeking for this. And Paul is saying, in this dispensation of grace, these things have been revealed to us by the Spirit. I have written to you so that whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Glory to God. So this mystery is what is being revealed by the Spirit. So the mystery of God is constantly being revealed to us by the Spirit. And that is a reality that we need to stand on. So in 1 Corinthians, when they say that, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10, Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. Glory to God. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing. So Paul is constantly telling them, speak the same thing. So why are we drawing our speech? Why are we drawing our speech from the name of Jesus? At this name of Jesus, we speak the same thing. And therefore, and there be no divisions among you. So in our speaking of what Jesus has done, division cannot exist. Remember, division is not natural in the church. Division is something that man creates. He says God is not a God of confusion. So confusion begins from man. It doesn't begin from God. So God is a God who is clear on his way and doing of things. So man brings confusion on our board. So he says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, and that by there be no divisions among you, but there that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So the joining together is in mind. This mind is the same, and this mind that is the same produces the same judgment. So Paul is begging believer saints from the same womb or same origin to have same speech, same mind, and same judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, where we found that our origin is in the name of Jesus Christ. So join on the same mind and the same judgment because we are from the same origin. In Christ Jesus, we are from the same origin in Christ Jesus. And the name of Jesus describes his worth, describes his reputation, the works he has done. What I've explained before from John chapter 10 verse 25 and John chapter 5 verse 36 to 37, we also find these works of Jesus in the name of Jesus in Mark chapter 16 verse 15, says in my name, because of what I've done in this name, in this reputation, in this reality, in this accomplishment, you shall speak in tongues. It's an inherent ability for us to do the things that are divine. And he's saying, we say the same thing. So, you know, we shall speak in tongues. It's as a language. So this language, which is tongues, is a language of the kingdom, is a language of our kingdom. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And this is a clarity that Peter gives us in his epistles, and he's saying we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. 2 Peter chapter 2, should be 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth your praises of him who has called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Out of darkness into marvelous light. So we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day you should overtake, it should overtake you as a thief. So Peter is saying about our translation from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. In him was light, and this light was the life of men. So in short, our language in the kingdom is the language of life. This language is the light of God. This life of God, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So this language, which is life, which is Jesus, should actually detect and predict our speech, our confession, our doing of things. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10, when he's saying be of the same mind, same judgment, same speech, is actually provoking us that we say the same things as believers who have been born from the same womb, which is the name of Jesus Christ. And this womb, this this reality that has engulfed us, this inherent ability of God informs our conduct, informs our practice. So we practice to speak what Christ has done. We practice to speak what God has ordained. We practice to speak what God has done in our lives. So Jesus in his works has made us the same. So we practice to speak that sameness that Jesus has ordained us to be. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. As I look at that, as I also unto you that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. So Jesus has built the church, and his building of the church is based on the works that he has done. That gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail against. So the gates of hell cannot stop him from building this church, which is in his resurrection. The gates of hell was not able to stop him from resurrecting. So the church has been built, and we are that. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And darkness cannot comprehend this light. So the hell could not stop him from arising. Hell could not stop him from becoming who needs to become. That is building the church. He is the head of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, from verse 20 to 22, he says he is the head of his church who fills all in all. He fills all in all. He's the head of the church. And that is a reality that we need to walk in and speak it. So the same mind, which is the same judgment, it should be a practice for every believer. Every believer saying the same things. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 23, saying the same things. We have two kinds of saying, learned and unlearned sayings. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23 says, when the unlearned comes in, they will say you are mad. So there are two sayings, the learned or the believer, the person who is speaking the same language, will speak the language of our kingdom. The somebody who is unbeliever, who is not learned, will speak a different language. And that language will be calling people mad, being surprised of our kingdom behavior. So we practice what we've been inherently given by the Holy Spirit. So we say the same things. And this ability that we've been given, which is tongues, is our inherent ability. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Let all things be done decently and in order. So God is not an author of confusion. Christianity does not promote the freedom of speech. So it is order. We don't promote freedom of speech. The Christianity, this kingdom is a theocracy kingdom. It is a theo. Theo means God. It's divine. It's oneness. The kingdom that is predetermined, subjective to the word of God. It is not an objective kingdom. We are not looking to know. It is subjective. Where this word of God has been accomplished, is the standard. It's been set. There's no going forward, no going back. So we are in a theocracy. Freedom of speech is a political statement, but not a kingdom statement. A kingdom statement is a theocracy statement. And this theocracy, we speak the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is what informs the kingdom language. And this mind of Christ, this what Paul says, speak the same thing, is informed by the name of Jesus Christ. Is informed by the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So God has given us the rule, which is theocracy. When men say and enforce what Christ has not said, that is confusion. That is not theocracy. That is democracy. Let all things be done in order is a theocracy kingdom. I will emphasize on that. A theocracy kingdom where we speak the same thing and practice the same thing, which is the wonderful name of Jesus. So the wonderfulness of the name of Jesus is the mind of Christ, which is speaking the same thing as the wisdom of God. And this wisdom of God is the achievement of what Christ has done. And that is what informs the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I know when you talk about the wonderful name of Jesus, we think about these beautiful colors, beautiful things. No, the wonderful name of Jesus is the accomplishment of what Christ has done. It's the works fulfilled in the name of Jesus Christ. Church is not based on the freedom of speech. We speak the same language. Look at Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Hallelujah. I know I've shared quite a lot of things, and I pray that by God's grace and wisdom, you'll be able to adapt and run with it. Play one, just listen to it over and over. The gospel is about repetition. And a good student doesn't mind repetition. Repetition helps you grow and stick to the things and the reality of the gospel. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words. So Paul is saying there are things that we speak, and these things that we speak, not in the words of which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things with spiritual. So Paul is saying the things, the words that we speak, they are not human wisdom. These words that we speak, they are things that the Holy Ghost has taught us. And this thing that the Holy Ghost has taught us is comparing spiritual to spiritual. So the teaching of the Holy Ghost is the mind of Christ. So these things that the Spirit is teaching us is comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. Look at that. Verse 16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So it means Paul is saying believers have the mind of Christ. We want to retract that statement backwards. So he's saying we have the mind of Christ. He's saying who has the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So every believer has the ability to instruct the Lord. The instruction of the Lord is not, come, Lord. I want you to do. No. It takes the mind of Christ, the oneness of what Christ has accomplished. Hence the reason why in John chapter 14, what we read earlier on from verse 14 all the way to 26, when John is saying that you have not asked anything in my name, but a time will come when you'll ask something in my name and I will accomplish it. So he says, you've not asked anything in my name so far, but in my name you shall ask, and that I will do so that the Father can be glorified in the Son. So when Paul is writing and is telling these people, we have the mind of Christ, he says we have the mind of Christ that we should instruct him. So in this name we call, in this name we declare, in this name we proclaim and enforce the works of Christ here on earth. When we call upon that name, that's now instruction. And in that, Paul is saying that we have the mind of Christ that we should instruct him. So he says this mind of Christ that we've received, look at verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no one. I will start from verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for ye are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Remember Jesus and the story of Nicodemus. Jesus comes to Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. Verse 5 says, whoever is born of the Spirit is spirit. So it means the person who is born again is a spiritual being. So Paul is coming and telling us, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So Jesus is telling Nicodemus about a spiritual being. A spiritual being is a person born again is a spiritual being. So Paul is emphasizing and saying that it takes the spiritual to discern the spiritual. So a person who is born again, who is spirit-filled, who is a spiritual being, can be able to discern the spiritual. And he says that this born again, so replace the word spiritual there with born again, but he that is born again judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. So that is who Paul is saying, this born-again person who is a believer has the mind of Christ. So every believer has the mind of Christ. I hope it makes sense. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God has revealed them, look at verse 11. For what man knowest that the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him? So a born-again man has the Spirit of God in him. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. So the things of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God. How? By us being born again, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. The reason why we have the Holy Spirit is to know the things that are freely given to us. Glory to God. So the Spirit of God searches the deep things in God and unravels the things in God, ushers us into this level of understanding the things that are freely given to us by the works by God, freely given to us of God. So there are things that it takes the Spirit of God to reveal unto us. And those things that he reveals unto us, they are things that are freely given unto us. Verse 13, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the Holy Ghost is comparing spiritual things and spiritual. What are the spiritual things? The things that are freely given to us. These things that are given to us freely is what the Holy Ghost is comparing the spiritual things with spiritual. So it's comparing a born-again believer with the things that have been given to us of God. So what is a born-again believer? It's a person who is fully functional and fully has the full ability to do the things that have been freely given to us by the Spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I come to you, came not with the excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So Paul is saying, I did not come in the wisdom of man to declare you declaring this gospel, because this gospel is about comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Look at that. And verse 4 says, And my speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. So our faith should stand on the gospel. Our faith should not stand on the gospel. So when Paul is saying, I did not come to you with the excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. So the gospel, which is good news, is the testimony of God. And this testimony of God informs the works of Jesus. This testimony of God informs the name of Jesus. This testimony of God informs the reality of a believer. So it says that your faith should not stand, so that your faith, what you are receiving, the information you are receiving, should not stand on the wisdom of men, but on the freely things that are freely given to us. Let me not go ahead of myself. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Remember Ephesians chapter 3, where it says, this mystery that was hidden has been revealed to us as the Spirit has revealed them to us. He has taught us, and the same wisdom I'm writing it down, so that when you read, you may understand the mystery that was hidden before has now been revealed to us. So this wisdom that has been revealed before is a mystery, and is what Paul is saying, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. So what was hidden? Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of men to unravel or reveal it or search it out. So he says, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had known, they will not have crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. So this mystery is about the Lord Jesus Christ. This mystery is about the death, the suffering, and the entry into glory of Jesus Christ. So that if they knew that in killing him, he's entering into glory, they would not have crucified him. So the wisdom of God, which is the mystery that was hidden, informs the mind of Christ. And this mind of God, which is the wisdom of God, is about Jesus suffering and entry into glory. Hope it makes sense. So in here you find 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Brethren, when I come to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of Jesus. So Paul is saying the wisdom, the mind of Christ that I had was the one that I was using to declare the name of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. And in my speech, and my speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So the demonstration of the Spirit and of power informs the wisdom that Paul was looking at, which is the mind of Christ. Verse 16 of the same chapter says we have the mind of Christ. So the mind of Christ is the wisdom of God. And this wisdom of God informs the works of what Christ had done. And how is this wisdom of God revealed to us? By the Spirit. So the Spirit is teaching us. And this Spirit that has been revealing to us, look at verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So this wisdom that has been revealed by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. So the spirit of God has constantly revealed to us what Christ has done, the accomplishment of Christ, which informs the wisdom of God. And this wisdom of God is the mind of Christ. So when Paul is saying, be of the same mind, speak the same things, have the same judgment, it means draw your speech, draw your judgment. Draw your mind from what Christ has done for you, from the reality of who you've become in Christ Jesus, from the works of Christ. That is the mind of Christ. And this is what has been revealed by the Spirit. So we have the Spirit of God, inherent Spirit of God in us, constantly reminding us. He will say, he will pick the things that are of mine and reveal them to you, and reveal them to you. Glory to God. And reveal them to you. That is what John is writing in the book of John, chapter 16. Glory to God. John chapter 16. Hallelujah. Let me just. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, verse 14, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and show it unto you. So this, the Spirit of God, who is God himself, who is the incarnation of God, indwells a believer and is constantly revealing to us the things that are freely given to us of God. So from God, there are things we've received, and these things is what the Spirit reveals. And these things that the Spirit reveals is the mind of Christ. And that is why, as a believer, you have the ability to instruct the Lord. Why? Because you are only doing what the Spirit is telling you to do. You are only responding and echoing what the Father has done. That is the mind of Christ, having the same mind. I plead with you, let division not exist among you, but have this mind that there are things that are freely given to you. That should be your practice. That should be what you're saying. That should be what you're basing your judgment on, not on the physical things. And that is the wisdom of God, is the mind of Christ. And this mind of Christ is informed by the name of Jesus Christ. And this name of Jesus Christ are the things that have been revealed to us by the Spirit. And through the epistles or the letters of the prophets, the apostles that have written the letters, we are able to understand. When we read, we are able to understand and see that this mystery that was hidden has now been unveiled. And by the help of the Spirit, we are able to function fully as the children of God in the mind of Christ. Have a blessed, blessed time. I pray this helps. It's a compact, it's a loaded session. And I pray that you will rightfully, ingest it and use it in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for every listener. Bless you, Lord, that you've given us the mind of Christ. May we walk in this reality, affirming who we are day in, speaking and practicing what you've told us to practice in your word. We give you praise, we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.